Thanks very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Radio Public Affairs program, Like It Is. Autism is today's topic. Autism refers to a broad range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communication. Akura Holt speaks with Janice Warren, a parent, advocate, and artist, about her journey and joy raising a teen daughter diagnosed with autism as a toddler.
I'm Akura Holt. Today on Like It Is, what are some of the early signs of autism in children? Janice Warren, parent, art educator, and advocate, is here to tell us more.
They're off to themselves, they're happy, and they don't want to be bothered. Those are some of the signs that a parent can look for. A red flag will probably go up. Those signs were always present for me. And again, I just wasn't aware. I just thought it was a stage. And I didn't know a lot about autism. You want to go to your pediatrician, you get a second opinion or a thought of where to go forward.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, autism is one of the fastest growing developmental disorders.
Thank you for joining us, Janice.
Hi, thank you for having me, Akua. Glad to be here.
The CDC says in 2023, 1 in 36 children
in the U.S. were estimated to have autism,
an increase from 1 in 44 children. Although exact cause of autism is still unknown, there's evidence to suggest that genetics may play a role since autism is less prevalent in females. Autism was always thought to be passed down from the mother. However, research suggests that autism genes are usually inherited from the father. The study also reported that art therapy may reduce social communicative issues and restrictive and repetitive behavior patterns. They found that the typical art therapy elements, sensory experiences with sight and touch, may improve behavior, flexibility, and attention abilities of children with ASD. This study was done in September 2023. As a parent of a child with autism, what can you share to help us understand what is autism and how it shows up in children? Were you aware of autism in the early stages of your child's development?
Because my previous teaching experience was in the early childhood setting. I worked with numerous daycares and early childhood centers throughout the city of Houston and surrounding areas for many years, learning about developmentally appropriate activities and how to help children meet their milestones, you know, making sure that not only in my daughters, but children that I worked with, I was always collecting data because we would always send home what we call daily reports. So I was just making sure that the students were right on task. My youngest daughter, who is now 16, it did come as a surprise because I was not aware of autism. There was not a lot of knowledge back then for me to truly understand what it was. I saw a lot of symptoms. I saw a lot of things that were not lining up. I noticed a lot of repetitive behaviors, but I was not aware of autism. It was not something that was introduced in the early childhood setting or in the classrooms that I frequent on a daily basis.
For parents who may be unfamiliar with autism, what are some of the patterns they may see in their children to identify early on that, yes, I should have my child screened for autism?
There are a lot of what we call just signs, such as hidden signs, repetitive behaviors. That's one thing that I would notice with my daughter. She would do a lot of repetition of, she would take little objects that she would find on the floor or in her room. She would line them up into straight lines, and they would be odd type of little gadgets. She didn't play with what we call traditional toys like blocks and puzzles and even Barbie dolls. She would find little screws or little pins or little paper clips and just play with those and gravitate to those and line them up. So that's one of the autism signs that you may want to look for. Again, repetitive behaviors, flapping of hands, twirling hands. A lot of the kids will lose eye contact when you're talking to them. Their eyes tend to wander off into space. They have a difficult time looking at you directly in your eyes. Repetitive movements, along with, I think I mentioned that, also echolalia. If they're not verbal, then echolalia, they would repeat some of the things that you say. Do you want to drink? Do you want to drink? Would you like a cookie? Would you like a cookie? So that repetitive behavior is present immediately. Those are just some of the signs that I would notice when she was very young. I'm an art educator as well as an art facilitator. And I consider myself to be also an advocate. I don't consider myself to be an art therapist, but what I do with my students is very therapeutic. I introduce them to techniques where they can slowly engage into discovering new materials. So it's very tactile. A lot of the materials are what I call adaptive materials, with some students who have a difficulty with gripping a paintbrush or gripping a pencil, then they have to use different materials, and they may have tape that can be wrapped around a paintbrush because of the fact it helps them to grip. They may not be comfortable with the smoothness of the brush. There's a lot of one-on-one that I do with my students. So everything is taken in a very slow process. Even when I am giving instructions, I give a lot of visual clues. For example, one, we're going to take out the paint. Two, I have an image for them to look at so that they will know what to expect, step one, step two, and step three. My work is fun and engaging so that they know that there aren't any wrongs to it. They're allowed to stand. And we use different parts of our body. Sometimes we'll use in our hands, we can paint with our feet, they use their fingers, and we use a lot of what we call non-traditional objects. For example, straws, cotton balls, we just use a little bit of everyday objects so that they can kind of connect with product and with the materials.
And the study also shows art experience or expression for the children can help them express their thoughts, emotions, and experiences in a visual and tangible way. This can also help them communicate their feelings and ideas more effectively when verbal communication can be challenging. How can parents incorporate some of these activities into their daily lives?
You have to have passion, and you have to be willing to break away from the traditional art forms. I often say that growing up, most students are introduced to one way of making art. That's painting, that's drawing a tree with the green bushes, the green leaves, and maybe some apples. But helping students to think abstractly and present to them several examples of a tree, several examples of whatever object that it is that you want to introduce them to. And then also just have fun. I like to say, go on a treasure hunt around your house and look for materials that are easily accessible. Even some of the objects that they gravitate to that they can use as materials to go into their works or to be used to be incorporated to dip in the paint or to use for smearing and for smudging. Be willing to explore. Be willing to step outside of the box. This helps your child improve in so many different ways. It gives them a sense of belonging. It also helps them to express themselves in a very non-traditional way.
Children on the autistic spectrum can show a sense of creativity and imagination. There are some examples of children being great at art. How can you encourage children to participate who may not be interested in exploring these methodologies that you're talking about?
I believe that it's always about process and never the product. When I introduce a lesson to my students, I quickly show them just an example of what it is that we are attempting to create, but I don't hold that as the end product. I let them know that we're going to do abstract art, and we talk about abstract art. I present several examples of abstract art, and then I supply them with the materials that are necessary for them to create. You introduce it to them and let them know that to use your creative imagination and what you come up with is from your heart. That's one of my philosophies, is that we create from the heart. So whatever your heart desires to make is going to be welcome here. They have to feel a sense of ease and knowing that art is so many different levels, that there's no one right way. Allowing them to explore freely, have a good time, and make what your heart desires.
It's important to know that autism spectrum disorder, ASD, is a neurological condition characterized by impairments in social interaction, communication, and behavior. Occupational therapy practitioners use creative arts interventions for children with ASD Talk to us about some of the challenges that you've experienced working in this field. What age range is ideal to approach children with this methodology?
I can say I've been teaching over 30 plus years, and I have had a wonderful opportunity to work with students pre-K on up, even senior citizens. I work with all ages, all abilities, and all backgrounds, and there is no right time. Art is universal. It's something that creativity is universal. It's something that we all possess. It's just a matter of tapping into it. And I do believe that it takes the right person to help that child, help that individual to understand that it's okay to take what's going on in your mind, those creative thoughts, and now we're going to put it on paper. It has to be done in a way that they feel comfortable connecting with you and just using what we call the basic fundamentals of art, shape, line, color, design, the different elements, and allowing them to just freely explore to create that masterpiece. When they feel comfortable working and expressing themselves in the way that their heart is leading them to, it's going to be a wonderful product. The process itself is very rewarding. They remember the experience, you know, and then they get to go home and create it again and again. Add to it, because with art, it's ongoing. There is no perfect time. We do have individuals on the spectrum that are considered to be savants, and they are very highly gifted and talented, and I don't have the opportunity to work with them, and I don't try to make my students to become that. What they create from their heart is their creative genius. It's making them shine bright.
Thank you for sharing that. What we do know, according to one of the largest U.S. studies to date on autism, African-American children on average don't get diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder until much later, and their parents initially have voiced concerns about this. For parents who may not understand what to look for, let's do a slow walk in some of the early signs, because I used to teach as well. And I recall those days when I saw children that were extremely hyperactive, could not sit down, could not focus. Teachers and principals would think these children are a behavior problem. Send them to the office or send them to detention. And now we know that children who are on the spectrum weren't misbehaving. They needed other services that schools could not identify and that schools could not provide for parents. You may think, oh, my child is a little active, or my child is a little anxious, or my child is lining up wheels or toys and get very angry if we move one toy out of the way. You see that, oh, my child may be on the spectrum. What do you think should be the next steps?
I, in the past, have done what's considered a professional development training for early childhood teachers that work with children in early childhood settings, and it's entitled Do You Know the Sign? I introduce these teachers who are working with our children on a daily basis to some of the signs to look out for. In terms of autism, one of the first signs is just a decrease in communication. A lot of times they just shut down. For example, my daughter, that happened to her. One day she woke up and she just stopped singing the little nursery rhyme. She stopped participating. She stopped saying her ABCs. So lack of communication, and we call that being nonverbal. When they are obsessed with what we call certain little things, obsessive interest. It can be something really weird and kind of odd to us as an onlooker, as a parent, but like this water bottle here. If your child is obsessed with this water bottle, let's say it's empty and they want to keep it all the time, they want to sleep with it, they want to take it wherever they go, you know, just obsessed with these really odd objects and get really upset when it's taken away. So those are some of the things to look out for. Repetitive behaviors, repeating the same thing over and over and over. Also spinning. A lot of kids that I've noticed will spin and repeat the same thing with their hands or their flapping. It's called stimming, and that brings a lot of sensation to them. And that's a way for them to just release all of that inner tension. Also, maybe walking on their tippy toes. For my daughter, that was one of the signs I noticed. I thought for sure that she was going to be a ballerina. And I just mean that in a comical way, but just walking on their tippy toes constantly, even when they have their shoes on or shoes off or in their socks. Lack of social interaction. If you see that your child or your student does not want to engage with other students, other peers of that same age, you're taking them to a birthday party, you're taking them to the park, and they're off to themselves, they're happy, and they don't want to be bothered. Those are some of the signs that a parent can look for. A red flag will probably go up. Those signs were always present for me. And again, I wasn't aware. I just thought it was a stage because I was never taught or trained how to look out for those signs. And I didn't know a lot about autism. You want to inquire, go to your pediatrician, you get a second opinion or a thought of where to go forward. And then that's when that what I consider that track begins, where you can get a complete diagnosis.
As recently as 2020, we know that white kids were deemed 30% more likely to be diagnosed with autism than African-American children and 50% more likely than Hispanic children. Experts attributed the change to improved screening and autism services for all children and increased awareness and advocacy for African-American and Latino families. As this study suggested, our children were not screened properly for autism. You've done this for a number of years. Have you been able to chart the progress of children?
You know, for me, it varies, Akua, because I've worked with such a wide range of children from different backgrounds. And I have been blessed to be in some prestigious institutions, but also working with inner city youth who are diagnosed. And so what I have discovered from my perspective, it's not always the early intervention, it's the effectiveness of it and the longevity of it. Because with these early interventions, a lot of times studies also prove that it has to be repeated in the home. And if you have parents that are busy working full time or going to school, and your home life is not as stable and as comfortable, and you don't have the support or the training, then you're not able to implement these wonderful approaches and these trainings. Now, I'm not saying that they are not effective. I'm just saying that a lot of times, if it's not being properly introduced on a daily basis, I feel that it's not as effective, may not be as beneficial.
I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Radio Public Affairs program, Like It Is. Autism is the topic.
Janice Warren is with us. I'm Akua Holt. The CDC says more children are being diagnosed with autism than ever before, and the rates may reflect growing awareness of autism spectrum disorder and a focus on getting more children into treatment. Other factors that may be a part of this increase or explosion in numbers of children experiencing autism may be air pollution, low birth weight, and stress may also find the increase in children being diagnosed with autism. And this was written in May of 2023. Thank you for sharing all of what you do to help families and children with autism and also working with your own child. What do you do for fun and self-care?
I am an outdoor person, so I enjoy connecting with nature, spending time outside in my garden, where I enjoy thrift shopping and upcycling and reselling and bending. So those are some of my passions that I have enjoyed for a number of years.
And Janice, how do you educate your family and friends as you walk through this journey of nurturing a child with autism?
Whenever I have an opportunity to attend a resource fair or a conference or a seminar, I will come home and share that information with my daughter and my husband and my mother, kind of to keep them up to par with some of the latest information, reminding them about different tips and to demonstrate and reinforce different strategies that can help my daughter to advance and to help her along the way. So it's ongoing. It's always something new. It's always something that I read or saw online, and to let them know about just different things that are effective.
What do you recommend for relaxation to the families who are raising a child with autism?
Find something that you are very passionate about, because this journey, it's ongoing. It's a lifelong journey. So wonderful to be there every step of the way with your child, even to shadow them. At the end of the day, you have to have time for yourself. You have to have a unique lifestyle, something where you are giving 100% to them, but you're also giving 100% to yourself. You are setting aside time devoted to your self-care, and you have to be consistent with it. And also, you know, something that you're passionate about, because I know that I'm very passionate about being an advocate and being an effective, loving mother and wife. Find something that you're passionate about, whether it's outdoor activities, skating, recreational. Do your research and get to know the people that are involved and know the history of it and know the benefits. Passion and dedication and just making that time for you.
Janice, thanks so much for being with us. Any closing comments?
Well, I just believe that art is a therapeutic form of healing. And whether you're on the spectrum or not, it allows you to just tap into that creative mind and tap into your heart and just create. It's fun. It's engaging. You're using all of your senses. The wonderful thing about it is that you have a beautiful product that you can treasure forever. So thank you for having me, Akua. And I always end by saying, put your art into your heart.
All right. Art into the heart. I love that. And lastly, someone asked this question, how can you prevent autism? Not sure. As you mentioned, early screening is very helpful. Some of the risks associated with autism that can be reduced: smoking, drinking, eating a well-balanced diet, staying away from airborne chemicals, secondhand smoke, and being very cautious when using chemicals that you clean with, and maintaining a very relaxed environment. Well, that's going to do it, Ms. Janice Warren.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me.
Reporting from Houston, Texas, for Like It Is, I'm Akua Holt.
Here is Dee Dee Bridgewater, Children of the Spirit of the World.
Thanks to Akura Holt for today's topic on autism. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.